Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
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 Yep, Sci-Fi, 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 a podcast produced by three men, all of whom are probably secretly thinking, is the other one the murder bot or is it me?
F that, I am the murder bot. Bang, bang.
Great.
I don't know. We probably all are, but I can never tell.
It's kind of hard to tell.
We'll just keep shooting at each other, hoping one of us will win.
So today we are talking about All Systems Red, The Murderbot Diaries by Martha Wells, narrated by Kevin R. Free. So, from the back of the book, in a corporate-dominated spacefaring culture, planetary missions must be approved and supplied by the company. Exploratory teams are accompanied by company-supplied security androids for their own safety. But in a society where contracts are awarded to the lowest bidder, safety isn't a primary concern. On a distant planet, a team of scientists are conducting surface tests, shadowed by their company-supplied droid, a self-aware SEC unit that has hacked its own governor module and refers to itself, though never out loud, as Murderbot. Scornful of humans, all it really wants is to be left alone long enough to figure out who it is. But when a neighboring mission goes dark, it's up to the scientists and their murder bot to get to the truth. Okay.
So the whole thing about the lowest bidder and safety isn't a primary concern, it sounds like real life.
It's just like, yeah, and this weird, wacky culture.
How it's weird. It's so foreign, I don't understand.
Yes. So, what did people think?
It was a fun jaunt through a murder bot universe. Yep.
Yes, some people might consider it depressing or dark, but to us it was just a breath of fresh air.
I mean, 3 hours of fun amusement about Murderland.
Yes, it was fairly short, wasn't it?
It reminds me of some of my former coworkers.
They were pretty short too, or?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for saying it, Kevin. I was carefully not. Kevin, what did you think of this book?
I did really enjoy the sort of Murderbot stream of consciousness that happened, where the internal monologue was the definite highlight.
Right. Yes. Murderbot, it's told from its perspective, and basically you find out what it's like to be a Murderbot. You find out what it's like to have to deal with humans all the time.
It is pretty irritating, I find, but you know.
So much prey that I'm not allowed to kill.
That stupid governor module.
Well, that's why you hack it, right?
Right. Yeah, actually, I kind of find it funny because a lot of the stuff with the survey on the planet where these groups come in and they basically have to use all of the company's equipment and you basically lease everything from the company, including the SEC units. You know, it kind of made me think of, oh, it's kind of like Weyland-Yutani, but you know, now that I think about it, it's more like it's one of Weyland-Yutani's like poor competitors.
It's like the Avis rent-a-car of Weyland-Yutani. Just like, we try harder. Well, we don't.
I actually think this is a pretty favorable view of Weyland-Yutani, the way they would run things. I mean, I think even, you know, Ripley had signed onto a ship that they didn't actually own, right? So it was basically on lease to them for the duration of the voyage. And when she ends up blowing something up, they end up sending her a bill. And
sure. I thought that the character descriptions were very solid. I thought that in general, this is a book that really knows how to pace itself. It's got a good, solid adventure plot. At the same time, we've got the character of Murderbot that has a very wry and very alien perspective on reality, and I think a very accurate view of people, personally.
I mean, in a way, Murderbot is a very sort of like innocent view.
Right.
Where Murderbot just wants gratification of watching media. Mm-hmm. And it's like, leave me alone so I can go back to watching my like space soap opera.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this could be a very standard failure mode for artificial intelligences.
If it was really intelligent, yes.
Yeah, it'd be like, okay, I could be psychotic and murder everybody, but that's just so much work.
Well, it's like, what's the difference between Data and Lore, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Data just has a better empathy algorithm. Or at least faking it.
Lore's just bitter.
Well, supposedly, yeah, Lore, of course, has emotions. That's the problem.
Joke.
Yeah, those always cause trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, I really actually liked kind of how it dealt with kind of AI. And in a sense, you know, they talk about it as this SEC droid, but it's basically an android. And the group that Murderbot is with, the other characters basically are like, well, it's not really any different from an augmented human that they also have in their group, you know, in their opinion.
Right.
It just kind of has, you know, this governor unit basically to force it to do stuff. So they're basically like, it's basically a slave in their opinion.
Right. It's a security guard.
Right. And it does touch on some, you know, moral points on like, well, you know, is this actually ethical to do this? Or, you know, at what point do you draw the line?
Right. Although I think it comes down pretty clearly on, no, it's not ethical to do this.
Well yes, it raises the point and then it answers it
stomps
as well.
Stomps it, yes.
But in an amusing way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they very much show that, you know, at least in this case, Murderbot, without being forced to, is a better human than many humans that are right. shown in the book.
Exactly. All right. Well, I believe it's time to hack the governor modules that keep us from revealing plot details. So we shall fly along to the spoiler zone.
Danger in the spoiler zone.
Something like that.
Yes.
We shall return, for we are sci-fi.
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 All right, and welcome back to our discussion section. So, yeah, we were talking about this as sort of a variant on the Aliens universe. Corporations are really very dominant in planetary exploration. How did we think that Murderbot would fit in with the Aliens world?
Yeah, I think it's like one of these, you know, sort of lower rent worlds that they're exploring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like an inexpensive version of Bishop.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the last year's cast-off model. Discount. And so, refurbished.
Mild imperfection in construction.
So, right. So, how does Murderbot compare with, like, other artificial constructs? I think we've got listed, yes, Bishop, Deckard, ooh, cheeky, Data.
We don't know that for sure. That's never shown for sure.
Well, I think we're definitely getting, like, a clearer view of Murderbot's, you know, thought processes about things and how he may or may not be the world's best or worst coworker. I don't know.
Well, Murderbot killed itself. I don't know why I keep thinking of it as her, but Murderbot killed herself, you know, to save everybody else. So
best coworker ever.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't imagine a Bishop model ever doing that.
Throws herself on the grenade for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the downsides is Murderbot seems to be relatively hackable, even without the governor modules. And I was a little unclear as to how is it that a firmware update could make it attack the crew, even if it doesn't have a governor module.
Well, I think they didn't know it didn't have a governor module.
Well, sure, but then they were still able to put in like a remote control unit.
Right, I think what they were saying was it's like a debug port on the back of its head that
they
basically plugged it in that overrides all of its functions.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point,
yeah, it was like a thumb drive that they put in, and
yeah, it's sort of like, okay, now it's basically like, you know, direct CPU access at that point or something, like,
right.
Yeah, I guess that is true. We have seen stuff like in the Terminator where they do some things kind of like that, where they reprogram them for good. So in this right. case, it's the other way.
Yes. Yeah. No, the fact that Murderbot had freed itself saved the lives of the crew, because otherwise it would have happily taken the firmware update and just said, oh,
right.
Now I have a new order.
It's actually the secondary governor chip that he didn't know about, or she didn't know about, it didn't know about.
Well, I guess Murderbot was refurbished, actually, because, you know, I have a feeling this might show up in maybe some of the later novellas or books or whatever in the next versions of this. They mentioned that, you know, earlier on, Murderbot had, like, killed 55 people or something like that, and then it...
Like you do.
Yeah.
It happens.
And then they said, well, that's because my governor module malfunctioned, and that sort of... That means it just happened for no apparent reason, so I guess maybe bots do just kill by default or something like that if their governor doesn't say they do.
I'm wondering, you know, exactly how that meeting went. So, yeah, that thing you sent us killed everybody in the crew.
Yeah. Well, it was just like the statement, if then else statement, and everything, you know, it was the wrong condition. Everything went into the else kill everything. It was like, it sounds like a joke, or a programmer would put that as a joke and, like, you know, to catch everything else. Ha ha. And then it just kills everybody. Ha ha. That'll never get here. You know,
well, you know, yeah, this, like, should never happen. Isn't the comment.
It's like the engineers are taking a look at the code paths and they're like, oh no, we couldn't reproduce it. Closed.
That would never happen. Ha. Yeah.
Welcome, data comp.
Exactly.
Put it in a cosmic state.
Yes. So, yeah, it seemed a little bit like Murderbot was similar to a human on the Asperger's spectrum. Certainly was very unhappy to be forced to be social. So total sympathy.
Well, right. There were definitely parts where it keeps its mask on all the time. And then when one of the humans was injured, it sort of, to calm it down, it, you know, revealed its face so that it kind of, you know, the human would stop freaking out for some reason. Like, I don't know why, but
I kind of like mentally imagined him taking off his mask and it was like some sort of like half melted human face with you know, like these big bulging, you know, Furby
I'm
eyes or
so
something.
Cute.
Do you feel better now? I showed you my real face.
Well, yeah. And then it comes out without its armor on and just like, everyone's who like, who is that?
Yeah. It's like, duh, who else is here? Like, oh, I didn't know it had a face. And
see, it just shows the further oppression of robots and AI because they don't even recognize theirs without their clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they don't even exist.
Well, that is true. The murder bots are gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Except for sex bots.
Right. Sex units, not sec units.
Like it's just that one letter difference.
It's a very important letter. Yeah.
Pronunciation matters.
Right. Though it is interesting that it seems to take a liking to this particular batch of colonists, though it's careful to say, oh, I don't like them, you know, like them, but nobody's going to kill my humans.
Yeah, well, I think there's a progression that happens through the book where at the beginning it's sort of like, well, you know, that's my job. And then it's like, well, I don't like them, but it would look bad on my record.
Right.
And then it kind
of... My record is bad enough as it is.
Yeah. And then it kind of progresses where the leader or mentor or whatever is kind of being really nice. And it's like, you know, she's like, can I just think of you as another human? And then it's like Murderbot's like, I like Mensa.
Yeah.
She's a really good commander. And he's like, I'm going to hack the system and put that in.
That's funny. Just like, put it in the record. Really good commander.
It's like, why is this all caps, like, flashing, like blink tag or something?
Yeah, yes. It's an old Apple II flash instruction. And inverse.
Yes. I think that that's definitely true about the Asperger's thing, where it's just sort of like, there are definitely the scenes where Murderbot's like, well, it was difficult to discuss this while looking at them, so I kind of like switched over to the camera feeds of the room instead of like using the Murderbot's eye inputs or whatever.
Right, exactly. So I, you know, just faced the corner and then kept talking.
Yeah, I was just like, just yeah, that like, was easier
okay,
to deal with this.
Creepy. But I have also been there.
But then, yeah, even, you know, progresses more towards the end, like kind of like you said, where it's like, finally, it's like, no one's going to mess with my humans. Like, you know, she kind of adopts some like pets or something. Like,
right. And, you know, the base, the people that are occupying it, the people that are exploring this planet are from a particular planet or colony where AIs have rights. And so naturally, they are very sympathetic. And it's one of the reasons that Murderbot is very kindly disposed towards them by the end. And although in the beginning, the ones that it likes the least are the people that are trying to advocate for it the most, because it's
right.
Just like, you know, this guy keeps trying to talk to me.
Right. And like there's that one line where it was something like, oh yeah, ask Murderbot how it's feeling. Good idea or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know. Even so, the interesting thing about that too is like at the very end when, you know, everything's okay, they end up back and so Mensa actually buys, you know, the sec unit to bring back to her colony, which is like, you know, unprecedented. It's like, who wants to buy, you know, your dune buggy when you get back or whatever, you know? It's like, okay, we rented this piece of equipment, now we want to take it home with us, like,
and give it full citizenship rights.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those, you know, rare options that someone's elected to take in a contract at the end. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yes, I'd like to, you know, buy this beat up piece of equipment that, you know, we basically spent the last 2 years abusing.
Right. And so, you know, they're like, well, we are supposed to wipe the memory. Like, nope, I have a court order. Like, you know, and so, you know, they're, you know, she's the murder boss talking to Mensa and they're basically like, well, you know, so what am I going to do there? You know, can I have armor and stuff? And they're like, well, I don't think anyone's going to try to kill you, you know, on our, you know, agrarian planet or whatever, but like, you know, you could,
what do I do?
You could like hang out on the farm and help stuff, you know, help me out, or you could be my bodyguard or something like that. And Murderbot's like, so you're going to be my advocate or something. I forget the term. And you know, later on, you know, she basically says, well, you know, it's still a form of oppression or slavery or something, you know. It's right. Like, you know, I'm still not a full citizen, even though it's sort of like, you know, almost as close as you get in that society. It's this better than the other ones, but right. So she, you know, Murderbot just takes off and it's like, well, you're my favorite human, but you know, I want to make my own decisions basically.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go jump ship literally and
right
share media with another ship for fare and get the hell out of here.
That was pretty funny, where it's like, you know, the ship AI who didn't talk but also watches soaps or whatever, right. Like,
yes. what was the soap that they all watch is
The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon.
And these are the days of our lives.
Yeah, the best part was where they, you know, they're like, there's like 700 hours of programming that is downloaded, but it must be using to, like, you know, encode data in it. And it's like, Murderbot's like, pfft.
Yeah. And then like, they figure it out by just saying, oh yeah, that's the person that killed this other person. That's a lie. It's yeah. Like, okay, yeah, no, it's watching it. There were a lot of really great little scenes like that.
I mean,
yeah.
do robots get a sense of, deus ex machina or anything when they watch these shows? Like, just, you know, things happen off screen, you know, when we watch shows and we're like, well, that had to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the impression that somehow or other Murderbot had built up a better understanding of humanity through watching all of this entertainment media, although maybe not necessarily that realistic, but the ones in the videos are, you know, going to be more pleasant than the ones in reality. Just, right. You know, because that's how it is.
Well, at least they're more rationally unpredictable, right?
So how does Murderbot stack up against other fictional AIs? I mean, definitely better than HAL 9000, though probably less smart.
I'm sorry, Steven. I'm afraid I can't talk about that. But yes, that is more of a common theme I've noticed in at least what we've been reading, but
yes, granted we pick this stuff. So.
Yes. There is no selection bias. it did remind me a little bit of Close and Common Orbit, mm-hmm. and a tiny bit of like the Anne Leckie, you know, series, but
well, sure. Anne Leckie's ancillaries are basically humans with implants that, you know, kind of enslave them in some ways. So, it's probably very close to Murderbot, and Anne Leckie gave a very big cover blurb for this.
Yes, although it just occurs to me, surprise, that the ancillary stuff is basically the Mutoids from Blake Seven.
So this has been Blake Seven Corner, brought to you by Kevin. So is that some sort of TV show?
I think it is.
Okay, great.
What happened to Blake 1-6?
Oh, wow. That's the first series?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is only the seventh season.
Is it like an incarnation, reincarnation, or
actually Seven is just Blake's last name. I thought we'd established that. It's Blake Seven.
Of nine?
Yes.
Well, that's his family, you know, ancestry, yes.
Tertiary Unimatrix 01.
That too. This is fun. I'm going to enjoy editing it all out.
So this AI kind of also made me think of a bit of Company Town.
Oh yes.
Except that one was way more successful or unsuccessful. I don't know quite which to categorize that one into.
You mean as the AI itself was?
Yeah.
As opposed to...
It definitely got more done than...
Well, this one prevented its humans from being killed, so right. That's good.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't have as much self-expansion capability as, say, Bob, but if you classify yes. Bob as an AI.
Well, I guess you'd have to, but it's at least a singularity AI.
Something like that, yes. No, I really thought that, you know, Murderbot came through as a very distinct presence, and I thought that was one of the strengths of the novel.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that in this case it's being essentially characterized as human and an almost like an not all necessarily an idealized human, but at least potentially, you know, fully human and not just right. Like, well, eventually it might have feelings if we do lots of stuff to it. It's like, no, it's basically human and it's just, you know, in the situation.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think in if you had to compare this AI to one of the other book AIs we've listened to in the last couple of years, it's definitely more a Closed and Common Orbit.
Sure.
You know, where AIs, you know, have rights based on, you know, what part of the galaxy you live in, their ability to empathize or have emotions and have conversations with people. I mean, this one, it's, you know, he's just a sarcastic robot that just dreams of like killing everybody all the time, but doesn't actually follow through and ends up saving people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So did we have favorite scenes?
I think the first the first line or two was probably probably my favorite, where the shortened version, I could have become a mass murderer after I hacked my governor module, but then I realized I could access the entertainment channels. It had been well over 35,000 hours or so since then, with still not much murdering. As a heartless killing machine, I was a terrible failure. So I saw someone tweet the first page, and basically, yeah, this is one of the more amusing first paragraphs of something I've read recently.
Definitely. Yeah. No, my favorite was at one point, they keep on trying to badger Murderbot and get it to talk about its feelings. And its response was, I'm not supposed to snitch on clients, but it was either that or jump out the hatch. So let's see, the usual questions. Was there tea? No. In fact, the word drink doesn't even appear. As far as I could tell, nobody ever drank anything.
Yeah, was there any eating or drinking of anything on screen? I don't
remember. They weren't really humans then.
Maybe they were unicorns.
They're all murder bots except for the one that had managed to hack his own governor.
Exactly.
Its own governor.
Yes. All right. What character would you want to be, and or who would you be? I don't think we've done this in a while.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to tell. One of the ones that didn't get killed, probably.
Actually, I really liked Mensa, though I found her name very distracting.
I just kept thinking of the organization Mensa.
Exactly.
I'm like, is that, yeah. Because, you know, that's the whole problem with audiobooks. It's like, can you spell all the characters' names at the beginning for me?
Of course, we would find that very annoying as well. Well, yeah, no, it's spelled M-E-N-S-A-H, so nothing remotely similar.
Yes, well, indeed.
There's also that other character, Oversee, right, which, you know, to me sounded like, you know, the Overseer or something. You know?
Right.
But I think if I had to be a character, I'd want to be the transport ship that he...
I mean, you always want to be the most...
I figured you'd want to be Murderbot, but...
Well, I kind of did, but...
I mean, we already are kind of Murderbot.
Some more successful than others. No, I actually really would like to be the transport ship sailing through the void, watching videos, and
you're like, yoo-hoo!
It's not that bad a gig.
Episode 3,924, Sanctuary Moon.
I just watch The Martian over and over again, or just keep on rewatching Hannibal on a loop.
Yes, you're definitely not Murderbot, Steven.
As the transport ship, I really like watching 2001, A Space Odyssey, on repeat.
It's just got such a sad ending.
It does. Yes. An oppressed AI.
They get to go to the black hole in the sky.
Another fine film, The Black Hole.
Yes.
Yes, with a Murderbot.
With Murderbot.
That's true. That one does have Murderbot, and it has the friendly bot.
And it's got a bunch of enslaved humanoid zombies.
So it's this is kind of a friendly remake.
This is just a remake of The Black Hole. I think we've cracked the code.
Oh my God, it all makes sense now.
I will say this is one of the books where the subtitle is much more catchy than the main dialogue.
You know, I picked this based entirely on the phrase Murderbot Diaries.
Yes.
I'm just I'm in.
And before you did, I almost bought it about five times based on that too.
I'm like, shut up, take my money.
It's like I have so many other books already on my list. But oh yeah, that's the other thing, is it's currently nominated for a Nebula Award, the novella.
Yes.
Best novella.
Speaking of nominations, nominations for
President of the United States.
Best fan cast category on the Hugos are open, and I would like to see some, please. I am asking nicely.
Yes.
So if
or I'll murder you.
That was Barry talking, so anyway, so yes, if you are a Hugo member, or rather a member of Worldcon for this year, or otherwise have voting privileges, then please consider nominating us. We don't even ask to be your first nomination. Just, you know, put us in
one of them
somewhere. I'm not even counting what score we get. I just want to get as many people as possible to write us down on the nomination page. So yeah, that is my plea.
It'll be awesome.
It will be glorious.
Tell us if you did.
We'll yes.
say thank you.
We will.
If we actually remember.
Thank you. Wow. This is why we're so good at marketing. All right. And then speaking of marketing, so if you would like to get in contact with us, then we are available on Twitter at SF3Podcast. You can reach us via Gmail at sf3podcast@gmail.com. On Apple Podcasts, you can search for us via sci-fi, 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 but make that all one word, or else you will just get a list of generic science fiction podcasts.
Or SF3.
Or SF3 is generally even better. So anyway, yes, there are many ways of reaching us. You almost have no excuse not to reach us.
Exactly.
Unless you didn't hear this podcast.
Unless you did not hear this podcast, in which case, that's really your fault.
Is it a chicken and an egg problem?
It is, but only in the sense that we're all poultry. I don't know what I meant by that.
I'm making the sound of an egg.
Yes.
It sounds just like it.
This is your brain on drugs.
This is the sound of one egg clapping.
One egg cracking.
Anyway, I believe it's time for us to go watch episode 73 of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. So until next time, we have been Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.